I'd like to start with the 91st Psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms.
Yeah, it's a good psalm. Very good.
And I'd just like to start and just take the first verse. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's my thought tonight, and I'd like to have it impressed upon our minds. The shadow of the Almighty. I believe that there is a great benefit in living for God. And I know that no matter what happens here, that heaven's going to be worth it all. But there is a benefit to living for God here in this earth. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." Other words, not everyone has the benefit of the shadow of the Almighty. But it's reserved for those that have dwell in the secret place. There is a place that only God fits in my life. There is a place that you don't enter there. The devil can't get in there. All the things that pushes in, the accusations and all of that that happens in life, there's a place that they can't go. There is a place between me and God, a secret place, a place to where I can go and find the presence of God. Amen. There is a benefit, I believe, in life. This life, living here in this present world, there is a benefit. And the scripture says it's the shadow of the Almighty. The analogy or the idea that I get out of that is it's like a shade tree that casts the shade that gives rest from the sun, that gives a coolness from the sun. It's like that, the shadow of the Almighty that extends out over a person in their life. Do you know if you're a child of God today that you're under the shadow of the Almighty? Amen. Well, that ought to be encouraging right there. To know that I'm underneath His approval, His love. I'm underneath. There's a protection against the things of this world that could harm me, destroy me, take me down, take my life. Whatever it is, there is a cover, a pavilion. There's a shelter, a refuge from the things of life. In the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, I have so many experiences in my life. I used to work for a surveying company, and I worked in the coal mines as a surveyor, and I would get out of the mines in all kind of hours. Sometimes I would get out at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 100 miles from home, and I would drive home. After sometimes all day working and all night working, and I'd be real tired, and I'll admit to you that it wasn't always wise to do it, but I wanted to go home and felt like I could, so I'd go home. Do you know how many times that I was obviously underneath the shadow of the Almighty?
Yeah.
There's a place on Cheat Mountain. You go up the mountain, then there is a place there to where they cut out a good portion of the mountain as a quarry. They got rock out of there, and so it's quite a distance. It's the only place on that side of the mountain that there is such a place. It's wide enough to really even get off. And I was coming up through there one night, and I fell asleep.
Oh.
I fell asleep right there. And I woke up bouncing out across that quarry. Well, when I woke up, of course, bouncing out through there, my mind went to, where am I at? What? Thank the Lord. The only place on the whole mountain that car could have went safely was right there.
That's nice.
And it was on me already. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that there is a God. One to trust in and live for, and one that's real. It's real. You can say that was chance. You can be a gainsayer and say that's not God. That's just luck. That's just the way things happen. Well, you can live life that way if you want to, but I know that it was God. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. God was watching out for me when I couldn't watch out for myself. He was watching out for me. There was another time I was driving along, and I was going to work this night, and I was started down over a pretty steep part of the mountain, and I looked, and a car was coming up the other way, and it was off the road, a good bit off the road to the side, had its tires off the other side. Well, when I saw that, I thought, what's the matter with this guy? Is he drunk or something to watch out for? But it was just moments after I had that thought that I realized what had happened. The whole mountain, there was black ice on the road. And the car couldn't get up it, so he had dropped the tire off on the gravel, and it was breaking loose the gravel, and he was able to go up through there. And I no more than thought that, and I hit that. And I tried to steer, drive, brake, nothing mattered. Cutting didn't matter. Hitting brake didn't matter. Nothing mattered. I was just going. Saying, the only thing I can remember praying was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I couldn't form much more than that. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And the car was sliding. It was like it was going like over the hill or the guardrail. And it just got over to the edge of the road. And it was just like I felt the jerk of it. And it slung me back into the rock cliff. And I was going right for the rock cliff, and it seemed like it was right in my face when the car went back to the other side again. And it did that again and almost over the hill, but it didn't. Then almost hit the rock cliff, but it didn't. Then almost over the hill, but it didn't. Then it come to a dead still stop in the only wide place big enough for a car to stop. It just come to a dead stop right there. And I had prayed, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And then I stopped and said, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that when I can't, you can. You're able, you're big enough to protect us, you're big enough to watch over us, you're big enough to allow things into our life that we need attention. You know how to do that too? They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those that live for God, that care about God, that live in that place. It's not just venturing there every once in a while. That's not what this is saying. Dwelling means that this is my home. This is where I abide. This is where I stay in my life. I stay in this place of God. I want to live there. I like it there. It's my favorite place. It's home to me. I feel a security there. I feel like I'm home. I belong there. That's where I dwell. And those that dwell in that secret place, see, you all don't know. And I don't know you, but I have a good idea. You know, one of my favorite times is those waking moments in the mornings. I like waking up, and it's almost as if the spirit starts off before my conscious mind does, saying, Lord, I'm so thankful I'm saved. Oh, Jesus, help me today. Lord, I feel so blessed to have the life that you give. And this starts by the time I start waking up and start doing that. It's dwelling. It's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And He has a shadow for every one of us, a pavilion, a place of safety. It pays to serve the Lord. Oh, I was another time I was thinking about going, and there's a human way. I was thinking about going to work, and it was up in the night, and the old devil brought a thought to me about my house burning down. Now, probably the rest of you never have those kind of thoughts and stuff, but the thought come to me about, I think I fired up, it was in the winter, and I had a big fire going on. I was fretting over the house burning down, those kind of things that had come into my mind, and I needed to go to work and all this. I was fretting about it and all these kind of things. And I'm so thankful for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I left home that night uneasy, but I started talking to the Lord.
Amen.
about it. You know what I feel like the Lord told me? He said, go on to work. Because the only thing you could do about it if you was there was burn up with the house. I'll take care of it for you. You know, I was able to get peace in my heart about that, knowing that they that dwell in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 3 years ago, my wife was with child with our little girl you see running around here. So we stayed home at that time and didn't go to Monarch meeting. And my wife was, I had left, and my wife had was using, some folks used our van to go to Monarch, and so we was using Marty's vehicle. And my wife had decided to go for a little ride. She had went and got some eggs from some folks that had some chickens there. So she got these eggs and had them. And she went and was driving along. And I think the eggs went to spill or something. And she went to get the eggs from spilling. And right over the hill she went with the whole family in that car. She's with child. It's time. And the children were all in there, and she goes right over the embankment. Well, when I got home, there was no car in the driveway, and I'm scratching my head about the car. When I go in, the family's in there, but the car's not out there. And I was like, well, she told me the story. Everybody was all right. But I went up there and looked at that. I don't know how it didn't roll over, but it didn't. It didn't roll over. But if you looked at it, you'd have said, how did that not roll over? It was a steep bank down there. And she hit the front end of that, hit a big fence post, and uprooted the fence post. So much run right up on it. One of the tires was flat. You know, when I went to look at this, I looked at it and said, there has to be a scratch on the front end of this vehicle. It hit a fence post, buried in the ground, uprooted the fence post, and there has to be something tore up about this somehow, some way. There's nothing tore up with it. I couldn't find where it hit it. It didn't bend it. It didn't tear anything up. We inflated the tire, and I drove it out of there. The owners come, and I was wanting to pay for the damage of their fence, but they had these things on it that they just released it, let the vehicle out and tightened it back up, and I said, well, I want to pay for it, and he said, there's nothing to pay for. And I drove the vehicle back out, and we looked at a tragedy. We looked at the possibility of such a bad thing happening. The little children in the vehicle, my wife in the vehicle, all that in the vehicle. If nothing other than that, this is the tangible, the vehicle would have been tore up. But nothing. Thank the Lord. It brought tears to me. Because when I can't watch, oh, God does. There is a shadow. There's a place for God's people to be in. There's a God that watches over His own and takes care of us. And do you know, I believe that there isn't one thing that comes into our lives that isn't ordered of the Lord. It's fit for us. It's what the Lord wants to have in our lives. It could never be there otherwise because the Lord, He makes it this way. He cares for us. And I'm so glad that He does.
Praise the Lord.
Remember another time I pulled into a place, there was a store across the road I pulled in. And I noticed when I pulled into this place that there was a lawnmower, a real loud lawnmower right beside me. And it was really making a loud noise. And I didn't hear. I walked to the back of the truck. My truck had a camper shell on it, so I couldn't see beyond it. And I turned as I come around the truck and started to make a dash across the road. And my first step that hit the white line, there was a car that went right here, 60 miles an hour. I could have touched it. But my momentum hadn't carried me into the road yet when the car went by. And I couldn't hear anything for that lawnmower. And I just, that, and it was just like that. And all of a sudden, there was this feeling in me of, Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your protection.
Yes, protection.
Thank you for watching over us and keeping us. Brother Tom Rivers, some of you may know him, told me the story of running over his little girl. He backed up, run over her. He felt something and he got out of his van, and he had a big size van. He got out of the van, and when he walked back, not only had he run over her, but the tire was on her middle. She was laying there with the van on her. He got back in the vehicle and pulled off of her, run and got her and took her into the house. She's about 16 years old to this day, and there's not a thing wrong with her. If you ever get a chance to hear that personally, you ask him about how the Lord spared his daughter run right over the middle with a full-size van. And he'll tell you that the Lord touched her. They offered prayer and the Lord touched her, and she's totally normal to this day. Well, this scripture can come alive to us if we'll allow it to come alive to us by faith. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That he will watch over and protect and care for. And if I may say, without proving it scripturally, but listen, at least give me this room to say this. I have seen the Lord have mercy because of one of his children that prays mercy on them. My grandmother, dear grandmother, prayed for her family. And in the course of her life, I believe that shadow extended beyond that saint's life into her unsaved children's life. Because she abided and she stayed there. She had a special prayer that she prayed that it seemed like the Lord had a special attention over her prayers for those that was around it. God's real. And God takes care of us and helps us. It's worth serving the Lord. Over in 2 Kings 19 and 14 says, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord."
Yes.
And if you'll remember this, we'll read a little more, but if you'll remember this, the stage is set for this. That Sennacherib had made his boast that the king of Assyria and the great Assyrian armies had taken every tribe, every nation that they come in contact with, they had been able to militarily overtake them. And that the gods that they trusted in and prayed to deliver them out of his hands was a naught. There wasn't any god of the lands able to stand before Sennacherib. So he goes and he makes his boast. You remember the story? Even come up there speaking it in Hebrew so the people would faint, saying to them, "You just as well give up, because there's nobody can stand before us. So you just as well give up." Well, he writes, Hezekiah gets the letter. It says, "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Lord, open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only.
Yeah.
All right. Hezekiah gets the letter. He's in a strait. There's no doubt about it. Hezekiah's in a strait. What are you going to do here? Just going to give up to the enemy?
Yeah.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We have the great privilege of taking our case to the Lord. Hezekiah gets a letter. Now picture this. He gets the letter and he takes it to the house of the Lord. A letter. Spreads it out on the altar before the Lord. And basically says, Lord, read this. What do you think about this? We have the right, the privilege to take our problems before the Lord. To take the accusations of the enemy to the Lord. When the devil comes and says, you just as well give up. Look around you. Look at them falling. Look at the people that's better. There's been better ones than you that's fallen. Look at the world. Look at what I'm getting. You just as well give in to it. You'll never stand up to the great pressure of it. You'll never stand up to it. I'm able. I'm tearing down. The old world's winning in a lot of ways. You know, we have the right to bring our case to the Lord and say to the Lord, O Lord of heaven and earth, this was eloquent to my ears. O Lord, you're not just the Lord of one kingdom. You're not only the Lord of Israel. You're the Lord of all kingdoms. You're the God of God. You're the God of the earth. You're God of the universe. I bring my cause to the God of the universe. I have a secret place, Lord. I've known you. I live for you. You bless me. I talk to you. You talk to me. I'm bringing you the letter. Who of us that has a friend, who of us that has someone in an important place, how many times do we take our case, our cause? When I was a little child, if I had a case, I'd take it to mom and dad. If I had an odd against one of them, I'd take it to them. There's the one that can do something about it. We have the same privilege to be able to take our case to the God of heaven, the one that created the universe, the one that set things in order, the ones that can keep things from happening and make things happen. He can do all of those different kind of things. This is the one that Hezekiah took his case to and said, read the letter. Now what am I going to do, Lord? Of a truth, there wasn't a nation that could stand before him. They've subdued them all. But Lord, we're not like that.
No.
We're not trusting in our own might, but we're trusting in the God that's able to do that. What a privilege we have today. I want to encourage us today that we have the same right to take our case no matter what it is. Discouragement, do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever run into oppression, discouragement in your life? You ever run into those kind of things? Does it ever look like the things that are around you are all falling away? That hasn't been my life before. But you know, we have a privilege to take these things to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And say, Lord, it looks like, if I look at it with my eye, it looks like there's no solution to this. Hezekiah didn't have an army that could match up to these Assyrian armies. He didn't. There was no way that he could do that. But you know, me and God make majority. Me and God make the majority. Oh, I wonder if maybe one day in our existence, maybe after we get over there, maybe we'll have an understanding, I don't know, of things that happened on this earth. I am convinced that you and I don't even have the capacity to see what God does on a daily basis. You don't have the idea of how much protection He really does give us in our lives. How He helps us. And you know, a lot of times the Lord, do you know this event did not have to even happen to Him? Why did God just not let it happen at all? That's not the way the Lord wants it to be. The Lord wants His name glorified.
Amen.
The Lord wants him to be lifted up. He allows things to happen in life all over and over.
That's right.
Several years ago, the Lord blessed me. A brother called up and said, "Brother Marty, the Lord's put it on my heart to get you a new van. What do you want?" Well, thank the Lord. Lord takes care of us. But you know, I was up against something there. God, he come through. The Lord gave me a new van. And I'm considering the insurance on the van. Now, I'm not telling anybody to do anything. I'm just telling you what the Lord dealt with me about. I was thinking, well, what am I going to do? It's bought and paid for, a new van. If I wreck this van, well, it'd be quite a loss if I was, you know, I was at fault and do that. And the Lord impressed me, can I not take care of your stuff? Yes, Lord. You gave it to me. That's enough for me. So I put the minimum liability on it and took off. And my prayer was, and you can ask my wife, when we take off for a trip, before it rolls a foot out of the driveway, we ask the Lord to go with us. Help us in it. Oh, I'm going to tell you what I have seen on the highways to where that vehicle just almost, but didn't. How many times it just almost something, but it didn't.
Amen.
Traveling 75 miles down the an hour down the highway in Oklahoma, that was the speed limit. Set on cruise control, middle of the night, family's asleep, I'm just a-cruising. All of a sudden I looked and here come a deer across the highway. And I'm telling you, it was dead point on. It was dead point on. Here it come. I didn't have any time to react, respond. The only thing I can remember thinking was, is again, Lord, have mercy. And do you know that deer did something I didn't know a deer could do? It was right on the highway, and as I went by it, its 4 feet was up like this, spinning around like a top. It never clipped the mirror of that van. It never touched it, and I saw it spinning. Folks, the Lord just spun that deer out of my way, and you know, immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, "It's my van."
Yeah.
I said, "Thank the Lord."
Thank the Lord.
The Lord is able to take care of the things of our life. He has a shadow that he spreads out over his people. Jesus said one time, and it's in the context of the 91st Psalm, he looked over Jerusalem and he said, "How often would I have gathered you together as a hen would her chicks? But you would not. You wouldn't have it." But the idea was the wings. The way a hen will spread her wings and a chick will run in close and they will be protected underneath those wings. The Lord had the same idea for the people around him. He wanted them to come underneath the shadow of God so that they could have the protection and the blessing and the richness of God in their life. But they said no to it. But he had it there for him. And it's there for you and I. The wings are still spread for us to run in under. Thank the Lord that they're there. I depend on them being there. Lord, when I don't know what else to do, I know there's a place that I can cozy up real close. Years ago when I was a little boy, my grandmother she had chickens all the time. And every summer, they had these little chicken coops made, these little triangle type chicken coops. And they would after the hen set, they'd put them in there with these little chicks. And I, as a little boy, I always wanted to get my hands on those little fuzzy chicks. And they would get out and peck around. And the hen couldn't get out of the coop, but the little ones could jump through. Then they'd be pecking around there, and I'd be sneaking up. And just as soon as they saw a motion, boy, in there they would go. And that old hen, boy, she would be fierce. She'd going to protect them. She'd have them wings out, and they'd be in there close, and she was going to protect them. You know, that's what the Lord has in mind for us. The Lord wants to protect us and help us and bless us. And there is heaven to gain. But I want to tell you, living for the Lord has benefits. It has privileges in this life. It is scriptural. They was people that devoted themselves to God. They devoted themselves to God. It's about God. The actions, the heroes of the Bible, those were men and women that gave their hearts, their lives. They found the secret place. God was more important to them than their own life. Case in point, a little boy named David. David cared more about the Lord than he did his own life. Amen. The heritage of God was more important. Those things were more important. I believe David had a secret place, didn't he?
Yes.
He had a secret place. There was a place that he communed with the Lord.
Amen.
And because of it, when it come down to the giant, the mighty men couldn't face him. The ones with physical strength or intelligence couldn't do it. But a little boy of faith, one that had been in the secret place, he could go in there and do it. But you know why he could do it? Because he was under the shadow. What can happen in under the shadow? God's ruling in under the shadow. And this event comes in under the shadow of the Almighty. And there's David right in the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing can happen or hurt you or harm you when you're in the shadow of the Almighty. Go forth with faith and grace, because there's not what can hurt you or harm you. When we... There's been people that said, Brother Marty, you want to go to a foreign place? You want to go to Africa or go to this place or go to, like Brother Michael, Pakistan or any of these places? I'd go, but I'd go under the shadow if I did. I'd want to be under the shadow of the Almighty to make a venture like that.
Amen.
Because I'm not capable. So we know the story of David. David goes up and there's a great battle pitched, and Goliath of Gath is out there challenging the armies of Israel and defaming them and bad-mouthing them and running them down and running God down and all that, and there wasn't anybody there that had the heart of David. David had the heart that was right. He had a secret place. He looked at it and he said, we can't let this happen. It's too important. There's too much at stake. He was willing to go down there and face that giant, but he had something the rest of them didn't have. He had a place in the shadow of the Almighty. So he goes down there. We all know the story rather well. He goes down there. The odds are greatly against him. He could have turned and said, Lord, it is of a truth. This is a big man. This is a great warrior. Lord, this is of a truth. Everything they said about him is absolutely true. But you're God of heaven. You're ruler of the universe. You made this guy. Lord, work in our behalf. I have those that dwell in the secret place. We have the privilege of being able to call upon God.
Yes, amen.
To believe. To have God work in our life. Work for our cause. Help us with our decisions. Help us to know what decisions to make. Many times I pray, Lord, I don't know what the right answer here is. Lord, help me. Help me help events to form it. Help it to be that way that you would want it to be. Because honestly, I don't know what the right answer is. But you know what the right answer is. You know what happened with Sennacherib? Because he run up against somebody that was in the shadow. Sennacherib had taken care of all of them.
Yeah.
And had there not been a king in Israel that was able to get a hold of God, it would have happened there too. But because there was somebody that took the letter and appealed to God, they didn't even have to fight.
Amen.
They were destroyed. I think it was about 180,000 of them. And they was destroyed. And if I'm not mistaken, Sennacherib, there was an insurrection and he got killed.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah never raised a finger in war. And it was all done. Lord help us. I think of another man that was under the shadow. He had his secret place. And there was some men that plotted against him and said, went to the king and said, King, we want to honor you. Make a decree that there was that nobody can appeal to God or man for 30 days.
Yeah.
Save it to thee, O king. They did that out of an evil, wicked heart trying to catch Daniel because they looked to find something wrong with him. You know, they tried to find some place where he would say something bad about the king or he would have done something. And they looked and, you know, they said that they couldn't find an occasion against him. That he was of that kind of a character. But they found one fault with him. And may it be the fault of all of us. His fault was that he served his God continually. He prayed to him, very devout man, very devout man. He'd done it regularly. And so they caught him and said, here's the way we get this man, because he's devout and he'll do it anyway. Sure enough, the king makes the decree that can't be changed or altered. And Daniel hears of it. Can't pray to anybody, any God, any man for 30 days, but yet Daniel went, throws it all, and it says, as he done aforetime, like he did yesterday, going to do it again today. Why did he have such boldness? Why did he push it open like that? Because his heart reached out to God, and there was nothing more important to him than that. He had a secret place. It was too precious. I'm going to tell you, it's a precious place. It's a precious place. When my first wife was dying, I got to a place that I did not know what I possibly was going to do. I got to a place that I remember where I was standing. One night I stood so devastated, I told the Lord, I am at my wit's end. I'm done. Lord, you've got to help me. I'm done. And you know something happened? Something happened. Grace, mercy, love fell on me. A power that wasn't my own. A way of going to be able to see. God didn't change the circumstances, but He gave me a power inside that I knew no matter what this ends in, I'm going to be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, it was a great place to be in. Daniel must have been in that kind of a place when he threw those windows open. I don't know exactly what he said, but I wonder if he didn't say, Lord, creator of heaven and earth, God, you made all the kingdoms and the kings in your hand too. And they made a decree and sought against me, but Lord, your God, my trust, my faith ascends to you. I found a secret place. And Lord, you've been my shadow. You've been a hiding place for me. And so, Lord, whatever it is that you chose for this moment, I'm following you into it.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Well, what we think of the conclusion is then they changed their mind? No. They went and got him. They went and told the king, hey, didn't you not make a decree?
Yeah,
I made a decree. What about this Daniel guy?
Yeah.
He's praying.
Yeah.
God, about Daniel.
Oh,
of course he was. Took him and threw him into the lion's den with the expectation that a lion will do what a lion's nature is to do. That's what lions do. They devour. They're hungry. You throw them in there, they eat you. That's what lions do. But this time, lions didn't do what lions do. Why? Because the angel of the Lord went down there and stopped their mouths. And so Daniel was down there all. You remember this story? And the king comes up and looks down in there, and I can see the picture. He was awake all night and it disturbed him, and oh no. And he went out there and he said, Daniel, Daniel, is the God that thou servest continually, is he able to deliver you? And he hears this voice. It wasn't a roar, it wasn't a rumble, it wasn't of a satisfied purr of a lion either. It was Daniel's voice. And you know what he said? O king, he still didn't have anything defiled in him. He still hadn't been corrupted. He still had the grace. He still had what he went in there with. O king. O heathen king. O king that got tricked. O king that got fooled. O king, live forever. I'm your servant. My God. My God. It wasn't up to you anyway. But my God was able to shut the mouth of the lions. God is able to defend you and I. There was another story of three Hebrew children. The three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard these stories over and over. But you know what? It didn't start at that fiery furnace that day. It didn't start with that image that day. You know where it started? It started with some youth that came out of a land of captivity and came down there and would not defile themselves with the king's meat. They had more integrity to God. They'd rather die than defile themselves. They lived honorably before God. They had a secret place. They knew the Lord and what it was about. And then there come a time that the king made the great image. And then he commands that when these musical instruments all start to play, and that it is commanded that everybody would bow down and worship this image.
Yeah, they wouldn't do it.
But they wouldn't do it. There was three. I don't know. My mind's kind of funny because in my mind I'm thinking like it's like when we bow our heads at the family table and we have a meal around and we bow our heads and somebody prays, and usually me would praise, but somebody prays, and then one of the children would say, "Daddy, so-and-so had their eyes open." And I'd say, "How did you know that?" Oh. Well, they had to have their eyes open. Who saw that they didn't bow? Somebody saw them not bow, but that beside the point, they didn't bow. But the king, and it's the way the devil works, it's the way things work. You didn't bow, but we'll give you another chance and opportunity to. We're going to do it again. This time, but they answered, "O king, we're not careful in answering you on this matter." Here's the bottom line. We honor you. You're king. God made you king. But it's wrong for us to bow to that. And we're not careful in telling you this. We're not going to bow. We're not bowing to that image. And the king's countenance, oh, he was wroth. He was angered.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not. Take him. Heat the furnace up.
Yeah.
Fire burns.
Seven times hotter.
Burn him. It was so hot that it destroyed the ones that threw him in. But they threw them in there. Now we're going to see. They are going to be an example for everybody around here that when Nebuchadnezzar says something, you'll do it or die. Wait a minute. There's four down there. Where'd the fourth one come? And it's like the Son of God. They're walking around. They're free. They were bound. Were they not bound? Must have been a confusing thing. This is hot, but they're walking. They were bound, but now they're not bound. What's going on? And the one is like the Son of God. These men had a place in God. They had a place there in God. They was willing to die, but they had a place in God. And the shadow, I'm going to tell you, right there over that furnace was a shadow. Oh, you couldn't see it with your natural eye, but there was a shadow over there that day. Oh, there was a song saying, I thought it was such an interesting song. The woman was telling her children about this, and the children asked, "Mom, where's the fourth man? Where'd the fourth man go? The other ones come out, but where'd the fourth man go?" She answers her children, "He's still in the fire. He's in your fire. He's still there. He's still a place that we can go with our calls and say, 'Lord, you said not to do this, and I, with all my heart, I don't want to do it.' But the world's pushing. People's pushing. All these things, and I'm being pushed, but Lord, I want to serve you." They come out of there, and folks, aren't you glad it's this way? Do you know what happened? That old king had a change of heart. He said that everybody, and he could say it, everybody is to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because their God is God. Because He delivers. Folks, just having an image or an idea that there's a God out there. Many people believe that there's a God, an aura, an energy, something that's God. No, it's more than that. He's creator of the universe. He's an intelligent being. He's someone that created you and I. He knows us and He desires to have a relationship with us. He wants to commune with you. And you, He wants you to commune with Him. Amen. He wants to be your shadow.
Amen.
He wants to be able to lay His umbrella of protection over your life. And when you almost are destroyed, you're not. And when it almost happened to you, it doesn't. And when it looks like it's going to, it can't. Because the Lord overshadows those. It is an amazing thing, because yet with it all, we know that the Lord allows His people to go through things. We look and see how those, Stephen was one that no doubt had a secret place. But we look at it with the natural eye and we say, but he lost. No, he didn't. Stephen didn't lose. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. How much more would you want? He protected, he held, right there in the most terrible time, he had the love of God in his heart all the way to the end, because he was under the shadow of the Almighty. If we was to stop here tonight, I believe, and start taking testimonies of how God has helped us, we would go on till it turned light tomorrow and still be going strong. God has done so much for us. My family went through a time of about a year and a half that there was not a moment in that year and a half that there wasn't a member of my family with something, with an illness, a sickness of some kind on their body, a year and a half rolled. It got to the point that we started feeling like, well, if you say it, it can't happen again. So we would start saying, well, they're getting better, so what's the next thing that happened? And even though we said it, there'd be a next thing and a next thing. And the Lord gave me the scripture that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And I got till I would even quote the first part of it. I just got to when the next thing arose, I would say, and the Lord deliver them out of them all. And the Lord, I'd say, deliver them out of them all. And the Lord deliver them out of them all. It was a catch race with me. Oh, another one. This one, oh no. And some of them seemed very serious. Some of them seemed life-threatening. Some of them wasn't. Some of them was. All these different things. And the Lord deliver them out of them all. And you know what I can testify to you tonight? And the Lord delivered us out of them all. He helped us, blessed us, gave us great encouragement, but He delivered us out of them all. I could go on and on, but I just want to tell a couple more of the things that God did for me. One camp meeting season at home, my little boy run across a wood porch. It was a treated lumber porch, and he got a splinter in his toe. And I tried to get the... I got the splinter out. I kind of bribed him with an ice cream bar or something to let me get it out of his toe. But I noticed that it didn't bleed, and it bothered me that it was so deep embedded, and I got it out, but it didn't bleed out. But I didn't want to cause him much suffering with it, so I let it go and didn't pay much attention to it. Well, in a couple of days in the meeting going on, he come down the stairs there at the house, and I thought he stubbed his toe. He started crying, and I looked at his toe, and his toe was terribly inflamed, and there was lines running up his legs. Red lines started running up his legs. He obviously had blood poisoning of some sort. And that night, we took him, had him prayed for, and he fell asleep during service and took him home. And it really inflamed. And the lines was running up his legs. And when we got him home, then it was in his toe, but his little old hands just looked like balloons. They were beet red, and they just swelled up. These fingers was all, and they just looked like big balloons, and it became a very fearful looking thing. And of course, it was a call to prayer. We were praying, and we laid him in our bed, and I was down by the bed, and I prayed up into the night. I just begged the Lord to have mercy and to help. And he was fussing and twisting and stuff. And you know, there in some time in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke peace to my soul. Oh, it was so precious. The Lord just spoke. A peace just come over me. It's all right. I heard you. A peace came over me. And you know, immediately, my son quit fidgeting. Got up the next day. and it was gone. There's a shadow. Thank God. I was able to bring my case to the Lord. My letter, my discouragement, I brought it to the Lord and laid it out with all my heart. Lord, I'm what do we do? Have mercy. Here's this situation. Lord, have mercy. And the Lord heard. I am so thankful tonight of this 91st Psalm. You go ahead and read it all the way through about the pestilence, about the, oh, they're falling this side. So many's this side. So many on this side falling. It don't have to happen to me. I have a place, a secret place. Folks, this is not public. It's not just testifying. It's not the shows that, or anything that we put on. It's not our outward demonstration. It's about a soul that links up personally, privately, individually with the Lord.
Yeah.
And He becomes my God.
That's right.
I tell Him what I won't tell you. I'll run to Him in times when there's nothing else to run to. He's my God. He's my friend. Tonight I want to invite you to know Him like this. To know Him as this, in this secret place. Because all the rest of it can be disturbed, folks. But this secret place, nobody, no thing, not the devil himself, can intrude himself into this secret place. Amen. You pray for me.